Good evening again, everyone. Thank you for standing for the reading. As you would have seen as we went through, they stood for many hours, so be thankful that I am very kind. I'm going to pray and we're going to dig into this passage. Heavenly Father, may these words of my mouth and this meditation of our heart be pleasing in your sight. Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Now, I've mentioned here before that I've been getting into a bit of gardening. I quite enjoy gardening. It came as a surprise. It's not something I ever expected. And I really love planting native plants, native flowers and shrubs. And we've just recently kind of redone one of the garden beds at the unit that, or the house that we're renting, with grevilleas and banksias and kangaroo paws. And if I'm not going to, I guess, talk myself, it looks really good. Not that I've made it grow. Not only do I think that these plants look really good, but they're great for our climate because they survive on low water, obviously because they're native to the region. They don't need much watering. Turns out, however, they do need some water. At the last two places that we've lived, I've planted plants like this and grevilleas, and I've managed to kill them by not giving them enough water over the long, hot summer afternoons. And they dried out and they died. But imagine trying to grow a garden in the vast areas of our state that are affected by drought, a fierce drought. Worse than that, imagine trying to farm in these regions, trying to grow crops or have cattle. In lots of places, the winter rains have failed for 3 years in a row, and things are really getting, they're beyond desperate. Creeks and rivers have dried up, dams have dried up, and everything is parched or dead or dying. The land is brown and dusty. Farmers are desperate. Some of them are abandoning the farms that have been in their families for generations. So, can you imagine the relief when rain, good rain, finally comes in the drought? Falling on the parched earth, soaking into the thirsty ground. Can you imagine the effects on the farmers? Refreshing them, bringing joy to their hearts, brightening up their weary eyes. Because rain, good rain, would be more precious than gold to them. It would be sweeter than honey. Rain after a long drought is like life falling from the sky. Invigorating, rejuvenating, joy, delight. Do you feel that you are in a spiritual drought? I wonder, do you feel spiritually dry? Have the daily realities of work and responsibility worn you down and dried you up? Does church here feel parched? A bit like you're going through the motions. Does your prayer life feel dusty? You're certainly not alone if this is the case for you. Because all of the stresses and anxieties of life leave us feeling spiritually thirsty. And the constant busyness, always on the go, just leaves our reserves of joy and excitement at God and spiritual things parched like an empty dam. When was the last time you felt spiritually renewed and refreshed? Was it recently? Was it this year? Was it this decade? Is that something you've ever felt? Well, this is the issue that confronts the people of God here in Nehemiah chapter 8, the passage that was read out for us. So far, if this is your first time with us tonight, we've been traveling through the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, and we've seen that sin and spiritual death has caused God's people to be captured and taken from their land. But now he's rescued them and brought them back. And in the book of Ezra, we saw that God helped them to rebuild the temple that had been destroyed. In chapter 6 of Nehemiah, we've seen that the city walls have finally been restored. In chapter 7, we've heard the list of all the people as we saw the towns being repopulated and the city being restored and repopulated. And now, in chapter 8, we will see the spiritual life of the people restored, not by rain, but by the word of God. So today we're going to see that joyful spiritual renewal comes through hearing and understanding and obeying God's word. We'll see this in three headings. Joyful spiritual renewal comes as God's people hear his word as the word of God. And it comes, secondly, as God's people understand his word. And thirdly, it comes as God's people obey his word. So firstly, joyful spiritual renewal comes as God's people hear his word as the word of God. And our passage today, if you keep it open in front of you, opens with all the people gathering together in one place, a huge crowd coming together to hear from the law of God. It's as though after all these years of rebellion and then exile and then rebuilding, the people realize they need a renewal. And this is their initiative. Nehemiah, the governor, didn't command them to come together. Ezra, the priest, didn't call them together. In fact, it went the other way. Did you see? The people said to Ezra, "Ezra, come here and bring the law with you." They wanted to hear from the law of God. They wanted to hear from God. And it wasn't actually even just the adults. See there in verse 2, so on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon as he faced the square before the water gate, in the presence of the men, women, and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. We're told actually twice that it was men, women, and everyone who could understand, which I'm going to assume means children. There's not many people left there. Everyone was there. The rich were there. The poor were there. The old were there. The young were there. The children were there. Families together. Can you picture the scene? They're standing there at about 7 in the morning. Ezra's up on this big platform that they've built so they can see him and hear him. And he's surrounded by a sea of people. Thousands and thousands. And Ezra opens up the book, or really he unfurls the scroll. And everyone stood up because they were about to hear God speak. And he read from the law for 1 hour, for 2 hours, for 3 hours. He read until about midday. And everyone listened. And they were even attentive, it says. And they were attentive because they realized this wasn't just Ezra's ideas he was spouting. This wasn't just some good morals or Ezra's opinions. They realized they were hearing the very voice of God. See their response in verse 5. Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, all the people stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, "Amen, amen." Then they bowed down and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. "Amen, amen," they shouted. Very American church. "This is true. This is true," they shouted. Then they fell to the ground and they worshipped. Because they realized these were not the words of Ezra. They weren't even just the words of Moses who had written them down. They were in fact hearing the Lord, the great Almighty God, their rescuer and their redeemer, speak to them. And when God's people hear his words as more than just interesting stories, or as more than just rules, when they hear his words as his words to them, then feelings of spiritual dryness are blown away. Now, it's easy for us, I think, I know from my own experience, to fall into common problems or common misconceptions about God's word, about the Bible. We can view the Bible as a history book, and we open it up and just think, here are history stories. I'm not that interested in history. Or we can think of it as a rule book. Or we can try and study it like a textbook or a manual. And of course, it does do some of those things. But when we read it, when we hear it, we need to read and hear it as though God is addressing us. Now, this doesn't mean that we're going to hear a little voice in our head as you open it up, like it's God talking to you. Some people think that. And they worry because that doesn't happen every time they read. And this doesn't also mean that as you read through, a verse will jump out at you and grab your attention and you'll know that that was God's message for you today. But that can happen. But what it does mean is that as we read the Bible, as we hear it, God is revealing himself to us. And this is what the people understood. As they heard the law read out, which quite frankly is generally not our favorite part of the Bible, as they read the law read out, they came to know God. Because they heard what God loves, and they heard what God hates. And they came to know his character even as his law was read out. And it affected them far more than just a dry and dusty scroll. God's word, his revelation of himself to them, changed them, affected them. It refreshed them. And this is why David can say in Psalm 19, which we'll read after the sermon tonight, David can say in Psalm 19 that God's perfect law refreshes his soul. Not because he loves rules. Nobody loves rules. But because David came to know God through the law. David's soul was refreshed. As he comes to love the things that God loves, as he comes to hate the things that God hates, as he comes to know God's precious grace on offer, as he made a way for sinful people to relate to him. And the people of Israel knew this through the law. But how much more can we know of God through the revelation of the Lord Jesus? As we now in the 21st century read the Bible and hear it read out, we are still hearing God reveal himself to us. We still get to come to know him through his word. We get to know God through his laws. We know what he's like. We get to know God through the history. We get to see how he responds to things. We get to know God through the prophets. We hear his direct call on his people. And especially we get to know him through the gospels as the Lord Jesus comes and walks and talks and loves and heals and dies. And we come to know God through the letters as we see the things that should shape us as his church, what he wants for us and from us. So do you feel that you're in a spiritual drought? How then have you been hearing God's word? Is it a textbook? Is it a dry and dusty book? Or are these the words of God revealing himself to you? If you're feeling dry, come to the word of God. Open it. Read it. scroll through it, however you're going to do it. Come and listen to him as he reveals himself to you. And as you come to love the things he loves, as you come to hate the things he hates, as you read about how he faithfully cared for his people for centuries, and especially as he came into this world, into our broken world, in the person of the Lord Jesus, come and meet God in his word. In the handout that you're given tonight, there was this little handy-dandy sheet. Pull it out, don't lose it. With some just helpful guides on getting into God's word. I don't know how you're going to go about it, setting aside some time in the day or the week. But here's something that I have found very helpful for myself. It's questions to ask of a passage as I read the Bible. As I read it through and I'm not sure what this is saying, I'll ask questions like, what's happened in the story so far? What's happened in this book so far? What does this chapter tell me about what God loves or what God is like or what God hates or how God acts or reacts? What does it tell me about people, about God's people or about people in general? But also, if I truly believed what this chapter is teaching, how would it change the way that I think or I react or I feel? And these are questions that I find incredibly helpful. I hope you will too. There's some other Bible reading resources for children on the back, some really great kids' Bibles. But I have some wonderful resources here that I'd love to share with you. We don't have time for me to go through them all. Come and see me afterwards. Little short basic readings that get through various parts of the Bible day by day. With just a small point to, I guess, for you to take away with you and reflect on. Or my current favourite are these scripture journals, where the text of the Bible is on one side, and on the other side, I'm just taking notes as I read through, or underlining, or highlighting, or scribbling, which terrifies Michelle, but I love doing that. The goal is not to get to know, 1 Corinthians better, but the goal is to get to know God better as we delve into his word. Come and see me afterwards. I've got lots more things that I could show you. But joyful spiritual renewal comes as God's people hear his word as the word of God, God revealing himself to us. Secondly, and much more shortly, a joyful spiritual renewal comes as God's people understand his word. Because it wasn't just Ezra up on the platform that day. It wasn't just Ezra speaking as the law was read out. The Levites were there helping the people to understand the law. See there in verse 7, the Levites instructed the people in the law while the people were standing there. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning, so that the people understood what was being read. The Bible is God's word, and it should be read and heard as God's word to us, but it's also meant to be understood. And quite frankly, it's a big book, and challenging at times, and it deals with complex issues at times, and it can be hard to understand. Even the law that Ezra was reading is a big section and complex. And it was important that the Levites who were trained in this would teach and people what's going on, help them to understand it, and especially to understand the implications. And when they understood the full implications of what they were hearing, it affected them. See there at the end of verse 8? All the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. We're not sure exactly why they were weeping. We're not told. But my best guess is that when they understood the law that was being read out to them, they recognized their sin. In the law, they came to know God's unapproachable holiness. In the law, they came to know their own uncleanliness and brokenness. In the law, they came to see that their sin requires the shedding of blood And in the law, they came to see God's perfect standards, and they wept. But critically, they didn't quite understand it all yet. Nehemiah appears here in verse 9, and he needed to step in. See there at verse 9? Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. You see, they'd been brought to tears when they saw their sin and understood the law, but that was only half the story, wasn't it? They still needed to understand that their God was the God who rescues. They still needed to understand God's mercy. And as the people stood there weeping, Nehemiah sent them home. This wasn't a time for weeping. This was a time for celebrating. So he sent them home to have a feast. Verse 12, then all the people went away to eat and drink, to send portions of food and to celebrate with great joy, because they now understood the words that had been made known to them. You can't imagine how many people came up to me after the service this morning to say, "I'm going home for a feast." And I actually felt that I wanted to go home for a feast too. It made me quite hungry. But when God's people properly understood his word, it brought them to rejoice. Their spiritual drought was ending. As they understood God's word, the spiritual rains were coming down, first in their tears and then in rejoicing. So what about us? Well, when we properly understand God's word, when we properly understand God's unapproachable holiness, when we properly understand our own sin and brokenness, it should bring us to sorrow and tears and fear. But overriding that should be a stronger reaction. When we properly understand God's word, when we properly understand his unending, unbroken love, when we understand his incredible mercy, when we properly understand that in the Lord Jesus, God has stepped into the despair and heartbreak of our world, when we properly understand the unimaginable suffering of Christ on the cross to pay for our sin and open a way for forgiveness, it should override our sorrow and fear and light a fire of joy in us. Or to keep using the water metaphor, fill the dam in us. Because joyful spiritual renewal comes as God's people hear his word as God speaking. But it also comes as we understand God's word. Finally, joyful spiritual renewal comes as God's people obey his word. After the evening of feasting and frivolity that they all had, the heads of the families got together for some serious in-depth study of the law. And as they read it, they realized that this very day that they were meeting together should have been part of a festival that God had ordained. The festival of tents, or festival of tabernacles, it's called. This was a festival that God had ordained to remind the people of all the time they'd spent in the wilderness living in tents as he'd rescued them from slavery. So what did they do? Well, in verse 16, the people went out and brought back branches to build themselves temporary shelters on their own roofs, in their courtyards, in the courts of the house of God, and in the square by the water gate, and the one by the gate of Ephraim. The whole company that had returned from exile built temporary shelters and lived in them. From the days of Joshua the son of Nun until that day, the Israelites had not celebrated it like this, and their joy was very great. You see, the people had heard God's word, they'd understood it, and now they needed to obey it. So straight away, when they realized that they should have been holding this feast or this celebration, They went out the back and picked up all of the old corrugated iron they could find, or all of the old pallets that are hiding down behind the toilets back here, or all the branches that they could get, and they built themselves little forts. Like our one here is a little example. You can imagine work cover would have had a field day as people had built these little structures on their roofs or by the gates, and they lived in them, we're told, for 7 days. The people obeyed God and they kept the festival of forts. And you see what it says there at the end of verse 17? Their joy was very great. This may sound strange to you, especially if you don't like camping. But as they obeyed the word of God, they rejoiced. We don't usually equate obedience with joy, do we? I don't. Simply obeying rules does not bring much fun and doesn't bring much happiness. But this came in the context of hearing God speak to them and reveal himself to them. This came in the context of them understanding God's holiness and his mercy. It came from knowing God and his character and his faithfulness and his goodness. And it made obeying him a joy, even if it meant spending a week camping. What about us? Do you know what God requires of you? I suspect if you've been around church long enough, you probably do. Do you know God's commands to be generous and to love others, even when it's hard? To look out for the needs of other people and not our own? Do you know God's commands to flee from sexual immorality? Do you know God's commands to care for widows and orphans? But do you know the tender, loving God behind these commands? As you hear the word of God and you know his commands and laws on your life, if you know his character and his goodness, then obeying them can be a joy, even if at times it is very hard. Joyful spiritual renewal comes as God's people hear his word as the word of God, speaking and revealing himself to them. Joyful spiritual renewal comes as God's people understand his word, his justice and his mercy. Joyful spiritual renewal comes as God's people obey his word. God's people had been in a drought, a spiritual drought. But today in Nehemiah chapter 8, we've seen the rains come in. As God's people heard, understood, and obeyed his word, they were refreshed like rain on dusty, dry ground. Their spiritual creeks were filled and flowing. The dams were full. Because God's word is life-giving and refreshing to the very soul. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we have your word. For many of us, most of us, we have multiple copies in every translation imaginable. We have it on our computers and our phones and our tablets. But we pray that it will be a source of joy and life for us in our hearts. Please help us to hear your word as you speaking to us, teaching us of yourself, revealing yourself. Help us to understand it and help us to obey it. And we pray that you really will refresh us. Give us joy and spiritual life. Amen.